gathered themselves around him. They anointed him to be king. And while David was certainly grateful for the peace that existed in Israel in those days, he had some battles. The chapter beforehand, he sought God both times. When the Philistines had heard that he was going to be the new king, they came around about him. That means they came to greet him because he was going to be king. They came to fight against David. And David went to the Lord and asked the Lord if he should go up. And the Lord told him, yes, go up. He'll deliver him. Need my mic on. Thank you. And then we see here that the Philistines once again in chapter number 5 came to fight David again. And David turns around and he goes to the Lord. And the Lord told him, don't go up in front of him, go around him. And God delivers him once again into David's hand. Here in chapter number 6, David is going away from the physical fighting of the battle. And he puts his focus on bringing the glory of God back to Israel. He wants to bring the ark back to where it rightfully deserves. Now, David knows that he's going to have to lead this nation back into loving the Lord once again. He had to teach this nation to go back after God. And there is seeking God. They're seeking God your own way, but then they're seeking God his way. And this is where the passages of scripture tonight we're going to look at. The title of tonight's message is Seeking God His Way. David knew, and David loved the Lord. The Bible talks about many times David's love for the Lord. He was known and characterized after he had died in the New Testament. Many, many years later, the Lord gives him this testimony. I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. And when you think about David, there's lots of things that come to mind. One of maybe the biggest is the story of Goliath. He went and he killed this giant when no one else was willing to. You think about the story that goes along when he was anointed to be king as a shepherd boy. And then he still went back and he served as a shepherd boy even after he was anointed to be king. And even sat in the Saul's palace and played the harp for Saul. Many, many great stories. Maybe you remember some of the problems he had. He wasn't the greatest father. Maybe you remember the sin with Bathsheba. Maybe you remember how he murdered Uriah. Lots of different things that we can think about David. But the way that God characterized him, the testimony God had about him was he was a man after God's own heart. He loved the things God loved. He hated the things that God hated. And yes, he did mess up. But David now is king. He has lived for God these years. God has kept him safe. God has brought him all through all these trials, all these testings. And he is now ready to be king of Israel. And one of the first things David does, he says, there's something wrong with my nation. There's something wrong with these people. It wasn't the fact that there was physical needs. I'm sure there was. It wasn't the fact that it needed a greater army. I'm sure that would have helped too. But he says there's something wrong spiritually. If you go back to 1 Samuel, you remember the stories that we learned and we heard about a few years ago. How Hophni and Phinehas took the Ark of the Covenant and brought it out into the battlefield. They used God's presence or the ark as a lucky rabbit's foot. They were losing their battle. And these are men who did not love God. These are men who represented the high priest of the time, the high priest's son especially. And they were going to be the ones that were going to lead the nation of Israel spiritually. But they are wicked men. And these wicked men did not seek after the presence of God the way that they were supposed to. Instead, they did what they wanted to. They actually caused the nation of Israel to begin to hate, to even give sacrifice because of the fact they did things so wrongly. And that's a whole different message, but the problem is that the word Ichabod could be written over the nation of Israel during these many years because the glory of God had departed. You know what David wanted to do? He wanted to bring that glory back. He wanted to go and he wanted to have a nation. He didn't want to just be a king that sought after God's own heart. He wanted to have a nation that would seek after God. He wanted to have a nation that loved the Lord. He wanted to have a nation that panteth, as it talked about in Psalms 42, as the heart panteth at the water brook, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Some of the Psalms that David wrote talking about how he desired the presence of God. He desired the glory of God. He desired the power of God. And this is what he desires here for this nation of Israel. He has a desire to bring the ark back. For these many, many years, the ark has been away from the nation of Israel. It has not been what it was supposed to. And because of this, there is a problem in the nation of Israel. See, maybe give you a little story about the ark, a little history about the ark. The Ark of the Covenant was built at the command of the Lord in Exodus chapter 25. The word ark actually means chest or box. The ark was a box of wood measured 45 inches long and 27 inches wide and 27 inches high. This box or the ark was overlaid with pure gold. It was topped by a golden grate called the mercy seat. One either side of the mercy seat were two golden cherubims. Inside the ark was the golden pot of manna, Aaron's rod that budded, and the two tables of the law that were given to Moses at Mount Sinai. It was here that God had promised to meet with his people. It actually represented the presence of God. It was here that the blood atonement was placed on the day of the atonement. It was here that the Shekinah glory of God rested as a child of Israel journeyed through the wilderness. And the ark was a vital purpose and part of the worship of Israel. It's symbolic of God's presence among his people. And so David now, he has a desire. And this desire is for him to bring this ark back so he can encourage the people once again to follow after God with all their heart, all their mind, and all their soul, and all their strength. But David's desire, even though it was sincere, he tried to do things his own way. And we got to learn, seeking God, we have to seek him God's way. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, the Bible talks a little bit about how to seek God or how to have true revival in our hearts. It says, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." God's telling and speaking. I think it's Solomon that's speaking here. And he's saying, look, if you want God, if you want to seek after God, if you want God's help, you want God's presence, you want God's power. He said, these are the ways you do that. You humble yourselves, you pray, you seek my face and turn from your wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin. I guess here's my heart. And this is what the main thought of tonight is. We want to be a church that seeks after God. We want to be a church that loves the Lord. We want to be a church that has God's presence and God's power felt. Now, I know God says he's promised he's never going to leave us or forsake us. But I know also that there are times when we feel like we can do things on our own and we can feel like in our own flesh we can accomplish things and we can do things our own way. And we think we can seek after God our own way. Just doesn't work that way. You're going to see here in the story tonight, David tried to bring this ark back. He tried to do things his own way, and he ended up failing. His desire is sincere, but it's derailed because of the fact that he tries to do things his own way. You ever met somebody who says, I don't need to go to church. I can worship God out in nature. And you can worship God out in nature. Don't get me wrong. But the Bible tells us not to forsake the assembly. The Bible tells us there is a way to seek after God. There is a way that we should go after God. There is a way that we can connect with God. And the Bible tells us, I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me. In 2 Chronicles, he's saying, look, if you want God to hear from you, humble yourselves, pray, seek my face, turn from your wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Now, here's the thought is that so many times we have tried to do things our own way, and many times people try to manipulate things and try to start new programs and start new this and new that. And I'm not scared of new technology. I'm not scared of new ways of doing things as long as they don't try to replace the right ways. But the purpose is, how are we seeking after God? Because I want to seek after God the way he wants to seek me to seek after him. Because it's the only way we can have God's power and God's presence. Let's read the story, and then we'll make some points here. Let's see here, 2 Samuel chapter 6, verses 1 through 20. Again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. Now, he's going to make a big to-do of this. He is going to do this right. He is going to get the ark. He's going to bring it back to its place. He is going to worship God. He is sincere. This is David's desire. I believe this was one of David's greatest days of his life. I know somebody might say Goliath was the greatest day, or when he was anointed as king, and God had prepared him all that time to this moment in time. And one of the first things he wants to do, he wants this nation to get right with God. This is what his heart desire is. One of the first things he does as king, he says, we must go get the ark. We need God's power. We need God's presence. And one of the greatest days in every Christian's life is when we come to the realization that we need God's power and God's presence. We cannot get away from God. And we need God. I mean, listen, we heard Brother Parker sing this morning, in the presence of Jehovah, you know, everything changes. And if we will seek the presence of God and stay close to God and stay close to the cross, we will have a different life that we live. Verse number 2, and David arose and went with all the people and were with him from Baal of Judah to bring him up thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts that dwelleth between the cherubims. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart. And here's the problem. See, it was not supposed to be set upon a new cart. God had specifically given instructions on how the ark should be carried. It was with poles by certain priests. And David here, he does not listen to God. He tries to do things his own way. And brought it out of the house of Abinadab, and was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahoyah, the sons of Abinadab, drave the new cart. So we see that this is where the ark had been for the number of years. The Philistines had a problem with the ark. And most of us know that story, how the Philistines' God kept on falling down in front of the ark. They wanted to get rid of it because of all the problems the ark considered. And it sat here for many years. David brings it. And they brought it out of the house of Abinadab, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God. And Ahoyah went before the ark. And David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord on all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even on harps and on psalteries and on timbrels and on cornets and on cymbals. And when they came to Nachon's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen shook it. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah. Now, once again, they are trying to do something good. They are trying to do something that is right here, but they are not doing it God's way. And God has specifically says, no one touches this ark. And what happens? It says, and God smote him there for his error. And there he died by the ark of God. And once again, verse number 8, David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place Perez-Uzzah to this day. David's unhappy. He was just trying to do what he thought what he was supposed to do. He was trying to do something right. He's trying to bring the ark back. He's trying to cause a revival to happen in this nation. But there's something we got to learn. There's an important lesson that David has to learn here, is that we got to do things God's way. If we truly want revival, if we truly want the presence of God, if we truly want the power of God, there's no way a shortcut to this. And this is what David was trying to do. And David was displeased because the Lord had made a breach upon Uzzah, and he called the name of the place. David's here, he's unhappy. Verse number 9 takes it a step farther. And David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Now, once again, here in this story, we know how to do it. I'm sure David had at least an understanding. Maybe he didn't know. Maybe he was just doing a new method in a new way. So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. So he stops. He no longer tries to do what he knows he's supposed to do. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom the Gittite 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. It's amazing what the presence of God can do for a person's life. If you have a pure heart and you want to serve the Lord, it's amazing what God can do. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord have blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him, because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. And it was so that when they that bear the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces, he sacrificed oxen and fatlings. And we're talking about a long journey here, miles. And every 6 paces they would stop and they would offer sacrifices. They're trying to make it big to do this. David is trying to do this right. And it says in verse 14, and David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was girded with a linen ephod. Now, this is sometimes noticed. When people look at that and say, well, there's nothing wrong with dancing today because David danced before the Lord. Well, if you consider and you study Bible times, and the dancing that David did before the Lord was by an individual, many times was just out of a praise for the Lord, spinning in circles. Nothing like is done today. is not done with individuals or other people, especially people of the opposite sex, is not done in a way that is ungodly, to ungodly music. This is a form of praise. And so often today people say, oh, dancing's okay. Dancing's found in the Bible. If you want to dance in that way as an admiration to the Lord, it's one thing. But what people do today is definitely not something that is godly. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through the window and saw David leaping and dancing before the Lord, and she despised him in her heart. And this was his wife. And they brought in the ark of the Lord and set in his place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had pitched for it. And David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings before the Lord. And as soon as David had made an end of the offering, burnt offerings and peace offerings, he blessed the people in the name of the Lord of hosts. And he dealt among all the people, even among the whole multitude of Israel, as well to the women as men, to everyone a cake of bread and a good piece of flesh and a flagon of wine. So all the people departed, everyone to his house. Now everyone's pretty excited. The ark is back. David was praising the Lord, but there was one who was not happy. Then David returned to bless his household. We see that David tried to bless the Lord. Then we see David blessing the people. Now he's returning to bless his household. And Michal, the daughter of Saul, came out to meet David and said, "How glorious was the king of Israel today, who uncovered himself today in the eyes of the handmaids of his servants, as one of the vain fellows shamelessly uncovered himself." So as we look at this story here, there's just a couple thoughts, and I won't keep you long tonight. A couple things I want you to think about. I want you to think about David's desire. I believe it was one of the greatest days of his life. I believe there is no ulterior motive here. I believe that he wanted the glory of God to be back to this nation. I think he wanted his people to understand the things that he felt and those things that he saw, all those psalms that he wrote. I think he had a desire to bring his nation that he was to be in control of to the spot where they worshiped God the way he worshiped him. David merely wanted to see God restored to the proper place as the sovereign God of the nation of Israel. He strongly desired that God would be glorified among the people of Israel. David knew that neither he nor Israel would amount to anything without the presence and power of God. David knew that they did not possess the power or the ability to fend for themselves. They needed God. They needed God in their lives. They needed his presence. They needed his power. Therefore, David said, "Let's bring the ark back." You know what? This is the type of hearts that we need today, too. We need to have a desire that for the presence and the power of God. In John 15:5, it talks about how without him, without me, we can do nothing. There's nothing that we can do outside of God's power and God's presence. So David has a right desire. And I know a number of years ago, I preached on a Father's Day. I preached a message about doing what's right the wrong way and use this story. And you know what? There are so many things that we have a desire to do what's right. We have a desire to see the world won for Christ. We have a desire to have the power and the presence of God. But we don't want to do things God's way. Instead, we want to do things our own way. The second thing I want you to see is not only the desire of David or David's desire, is David's desire is derailed. David's desire is derailed. A couple reasons why David did not accomplish what he wanted to do. Once again, it was something good. Why wouldn't God be on board? Why wouldn't God allow this to happen? There's a couple of things I want you to think about. First, it's derailed because of disobedience. Derailed because of disobedience. It says that in the Bible that he set the ark of God upon a new cart. David's problem was rooted in the fact that either he forgot or ignored the clear commandment of God as to how the ark was to be transported. God had specifically in his word said over and over and over that no one was supposed to touch the ark, that it was supposed to be carried on poles by certain priests. He was disobedient to God. Plain and simple. You say, "Pastor, doesn't the end justify the means? Isn't it okay just because he was doing what's right?" Well, you see what God does. God does not bless this. God actually kills a man because of the fact that he was just trying to steady the ark. He was trying to do what he thought was best. And this is what we learn from this is, just because we have good desires doesn't mean that we can accomplish anything in our own strength and our own ways. He was also derailed because of a lack of godly counsel. He was derailed because of a lack of godly counsel. Another flaw that mars David's decision is that he did not seek God before he made it. Say, Pastor, how could it be wrong for him to do something that's good? I'm not saying it was wrong, but we should always let God guide our steps. If you look in verse number 5, it talked about how David began to reign. And as soon as David began to reign, David was attacked by the Philistines, where they began the battle. And chapter number 5 talks about how David, what he did is went over and over. He went to God and said, God, do you want me to attack? God, do you want me to attack? And he asked God what he should do. But here you see in chapter number 6, he doesn't ask God. Another problem David has is that his methods were the same methods that had been used by the world. The Philistines, this many years beforehand, had done the same thing. And maybe he thought that it was okay to do it because the Philistines did it. But David had knowledge. David had a relationship with God. David knew better. He should have talked to God. And the next thing is he is derailed not only because of disobedience, because of lack of godly counsel, but because of a fleshly decision. A fleshly decision. David becomes angry. He stops. You see in the verses 8, it says David was displeased. Verse number 9, David was afraid. And he says, I'm not taking this ark anywhere. He stops what he knows he is supposed to be doing. As it becomes fleshly. When he could not do it on his own, instead of repenting and doing things God's way, David chooses instead to forget about the whole business. He dismissed the people and left the ark where it was. How about you? In your Christian life, I know sometimes we come to an altar, we ask God for forgiveness, we repent of something, and God lays something on our heart and says, okay, God, you want me to go help this family, or God, you want me to teach this class, or God, you want me to begin doing this, and God gives us this holy desire to do something for the Lord, and then we say, okay, Lord, I got it, and then we start doing things our own way. What we need to learn how to do is to do things obediently, but also to seek godly counsel and realize in our flesh we can do nothing. We need God's power. We need God's presence. We should not be surprised when God refuses to bless us when we leave God out. When we seek to do His business our way, He will not bless us. When we employ worldly methods and attempt to do His work, He will not bless us. When we fail to seek His will, He will not bless us. When we operate in the power and energy of the flesh, He will not bless us. When we refuse to obey His precepts and His principles, He will not bless us. You know, as a church, you know, sometimes people say, well, maybe we should change this. Maybe we should change the type of Bible we use, or maybe we should change the type of music we have, or maybe we should change this standard, or do something that's a little bit more modern and a little bit more whatever way you want to call it. But if we're going to go against what God's Word says, you know what? God's just not going to bless it. Amen. And that's why, even though we might want to be doing something good, as David was trying to do something good, we got to remember, we got to do it God's way. We need to be led by God and asking God all along, and realize that a fleshly decision will never, ever accomplish anything for the Lord. If you want to be disappointed in your walk with Jesus as an individual or as a church, just do everything your way. Watch Him refuse to honor it. Watch Him send judgment instead. If you want His blessings, then do His business His way, and He will honor it and bring glory for Himself through it. Now, here's the whole point, is that I have a desire. I want to worship the Lord. I want God's presence and God's power. And I know that we have a revival next month, and I'm not saying we need to wait till next month to make sure that we start doing this, but we need to seek after God. And I'm not talking about seeking after God in our own way. Well, I can seek after God by doing this, or I can seek after God by doing that. I'm talking about reading what it says in 2 Chronicles 7:14 and listening to what it says about humbling ourselves, praying, seeking God's face, turning from our wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. I want to do things God's way so we can see God's blessings. For too long and for so long, we've tried to do things in the flesh, and we try to do things without God's prayer, without praying, without seeking after God, without God's presence. And this is what needs to change. Yes, I know we have a desire, but our desires are derailed because of the fact we want to do things our own way. Next thing I want you to see is David's determination. Verses 12 through 20, David, he's determined to do things the right way. After a few months, maybe about 3 months, if my calculations are correct, David hears that the Lord's blessing Obed-Edom. He realizes that he could and should have done things the right way, and how God is able to bless. He was worried. He was scared, the Bible says, about the ark. He was displeased. He was disappointed because Uzzah died. And he gave up on what he knew was a godly desire. Have you ever given up on something that you thought God wanted you to do because it didn't accomplish what you thought it should have, when you thought it should have? This is what David does. He gives up on the plan, and then he sees the blessing of God on Obed-Edom's life. And Obed-Edom is blessed because the presence of God is there. And I think that same year when we preached about this passage of scripture, we talked about Obed-Edom in the morning time, and he went with the ark. They took it from his house, but he went with the ark. And everywhere the ark went, that's where he was, because he got used to the presence of God. He got used to the blessings of God. And he was determined that he was going to stay where God was. And that's where we need to get in our life, is if we get close to God, we get in the presence of God, and we want to stay where God has told us to do and what God wants us to do. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, if you want to take your Bible there, you can. You can see David did something differently this time. In 1 Chronicles chapter 15, the Bible says in verses 13 through 15, how David this time took the ark. 1 Chronicles 15 verse 13 says, "For because he did it not at first, the Lord our God made a breach upon us, for that we sought him not after the due order. So the priests and the Levites sanctified themselves to bring up the ark of the Lord God of Israel, and the children of the Levites bear the ark of God upon their shoulders with the staves thereon, as Moses commanded, according to the word of the Lord." See, in 1 Chronicles 15 verses 13 through 15, David gets it right. He goes back. He's determined to do things the right way. Either way, he went and he said, "Look, I've done wrong. I've repented of it. And now I want to go back and finish the job that God's given me." He was determined. He was determined despite his past failures. You know what? Many times today, Christians will not serve God because they failed in the past. They give up and they say, "I can't serve him because when I tried it before, I was trying to do what was right. I was trying to build this class. I was trying to teach my family. I was trying to raise my kids. I was trying to win people to Christ. And I failed before in the past. I'm going to give up." There's a lot of people sitting here tonight that maybe don't do what they used to do because they failed before in the past. David, he was determined despite past failures. Paul said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Paul here, he if anybody could have been marred by his past, it could have been this great murderer of Christians, this great persecutor of Christians. And Paul says, no. He says, "I know that I'm going to have to forget those things that I did before. I'm going to have to reach forward to the things that God wants me to do." You know what? David, he was determined. He was determined to do things right this time. He had this desire God put in his heart, this burning desire to bring the ark back. He wanted to lead the nation in revival. And he does this despite his past failures. I wonder how many of us are sitting by and not doing anything more because of the fact we failed before in the past. Can't we learn from David here and see, you know what? If God wants this done, it's important that we do things the way God wants it done. He also was determined despite criticism. He gets home. Everyone's excited. The ark is back. He gets home and his wife is upset. His wife doesn't think he should have sang and danced the way he did in front of the people. And in verse 21 it says, "David said unto Michal, it was before the Lord which chose me before thy father and before all the house to appoint me ruler over the people of the Lord over Israel. Therefore will I play before the Lord." He was saying, "Look, I don't care what you say. I'm doing this for the Lord, and I'm going to continue on doing this for the Lord." And you know what? He continued on. He was determined. He wanted to bring revival. He wanted to bring the presence of God back to the nation of Israel. He wanted the people to see what he saw, experience what he saw. And despite the fact he had did things the wrong way the first time, despite the fact he had failed, despite the fact there was criticism, he was determined that he was going to do the desire that God wanted him to do. What is it in our heart and lives that God given us a desire to do? I know sometimes when God gives us a desire, we just kind of push it way to the back and say, "There's no way I can do that." What is it that God has inspired us and said, "Hey, This is what I want you to do. Maybe God's calling a young or older person into some type of full-time ministry. Maybe to be a missionary or a pastor or a teacher. Or maybe God is talking to your heart about giving you a desire to get baptized or maybe join a church. Or maybe God's giving you a desire to win people to Christ or to teach a class or maybe to love your husband or maybe to love your wife or to raise your children, to take off that final step, to go forward for God. You know God's giving you the desire to live for Him. And we just say, I can't do it right now. I tried before in the past and I failed. Well, I'm asking you, did you do it God's way? Or did you do it your own way? See, seeking after God is something that we must do His way. And it begins by humbling ourselves. It begins with praying. It continues by seeking God's face. It continues as God reveals things in our hearts that we turn from our wicked ways. And things might not always turn out the way you desired them to or the way you thought they should have, but are you determined? Are you determined to do things the right way? Are you determined, despite past failures, to continue on for God? Are you determined, despite the fact people might criticize you, to continue to live for God? I'm not saying it's easy. And you got to imagine in the story, David had a very sincere heart. He really just wanted to help the nation of Israel. And sometimes this is where it gets us. We think we're trying to do what's right and we're trying to do what's best. And we think that, okay, I know I'm fudging a little bit here. I'm doing a little bit, maybe not exactly the way that God wants me to, but God's going to bless it because of the fact it's good. It's something God would want, right? No, God expects us to obey. God would rather have obedience than sacrifice, He tells us in 1 Samuel. So what we need to do is look to God. We need to ask God, Lord, why is it that I am not doing the things that I think You want me to do? God, why am I not accomplishing the things that You want me to accomplish? I keep on trying. I keep on working hard. I keep on pushing myself and pushing myself and pushing myself to try to accomplish what I think You want me to in my life. But have you gone back to 2 Chronicles 7:14? Have you started first on our knees, humbled, asking God to reveal unto you what He desires? Are we really truly seeking the face of God? Are we truly turning from our wicked ways? See, this is how you seek God. God has a plan and a purpose for all of us. He puts holy desires in our heart like He put in David's heart. You know what? I can imagine David had this desire for years. When David was anointed king, I can imagine all the years it probably groaned his heart that his brothers and maybe all these other people that were around him, they did not love God the way he did. He was a man after God's own heart. It probably drove him crazy, the fact that, you know, I wish these people would just love God or know God the way I did, and that they could experience God the way I experience Him, and that I want so much for the people to have what I have. And that's why one of the first things he did when he became king, he says, we got to get the ark back. And there was nothing wrong with that. That was right. But he wanted to do things his own way. He wanted to do things in the flesh. I know there is wanting to do right, but you have to do it the right way. And it starts with this. It doesn't start with us figuring out what the biggest and best way to do things is. It starts with us humbling ourselves. It starts with us on our knees. It starts with us as God directs our paths and shows us wickedness in our life, that we leave those things behind and we seek His face. That's where it begins. Trying to do right the wrong way will never accomplish anything for God. But we have to learn to seek God His way, the way He desires for us to do. I know most of us have been saved for many years. Most of us have talked about great things we like to see God do in our lives. But it begins with this, seeking Him first, the right way. Not fleshly, trying to make things happen. David took 30,000 chosen soldiers to get this ark. And God showed him, look, I don't care how many men you have. I don't care how much strength or how much flesh you have. You're not going to accomplish anything without going through me first. This is what we need to learn. This is what we need to grab a hold of and say, I want God's presence. I want God's power. And I'm not going to allow anything to stop me from fellowshipping with Him. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed for a time of invitation tonight.